This is KAYT-FM. 881 Gina Alexandria. 92.5 Greenwood Shreveport. K223BI. 98.9 Monroe, West Monroe. K255BT. 100.1 Lake Charles. K261EB. And KQJO-FM. 99.3 St. Joseph, Louisiana. Natchez, Mississippi. And online at www.kaytfm.com.
I'm Stanley Mathis, Senior Pastor of the Antioch Missionary Baptist Church, and you're now listening to Paradise Ministry. Paradise Ministry is an independent outreach ministry of the Antioch Missionary Baptist Church, located at 2308 Houston Street, Alexandria, Louisiana. We're preaching and teaching the Word of God on a regular basis. Join us now as we enter into our service already in progress.
When we think about this king that we serve, this king, when kings come into a courtroom or when judges come into a courtroom, we acknowledge his arrival while the bailiff says, "All rise." But when the real king arrived, only some wise men and some shepherds acknowledge his arrival. And God then summoned a star to shine over the real king. This king had power and authority with the Father when he was in heaven. He is the only king who can claim to be infinite and finite. He is the only king who can be transcendent and immanent. And what I have discovered, Dwayne, is it is customary when judges come into the, or presidents or prime ministers arrive, we all stand up. But when Jesus came, they didn't stand up. They began to bow down. You'll catch it. God was establishing something new. When men come who claim to be king, they all ushered up and stand. But when Jesus came into the world, they bowed down. Pastor, how do you know that? Well, let's see what Scripture says, and not my accountability, nor my articulation of Scripture. In Exodus 3 and 5, when Moses saw a burning bush in Mount Sinai or Mount Horeb, Moses came in the presence of a holy God, and God said to Moses, "Take or put off your shoes from your feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground." Men now no longer stand. Men would now bow before the king. Moses, take off your shoes. Not only are you on holy ground, but you're standing in the presence of a holy God. So men always stood up when royalties came in, but when Christ came, now they bow down. Because he is the Lord, God, maker, creator of all things. They bow before his presence in reverence and obedience because he is worthy of all praise, honor, and glory. Can I introduce you to the real king? The world has heard of Jesus, but they have never invited him into their life. Jesus said, "I stand at the door and knock." Is Jesus knocking at your door? Yes. For this king was mentioned in Genesis 3 and 15, where it states, "And I would put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." This king authority was mentioned before his arrival. In the book of Genesis, part of the original Torah, the original Pentateuch, the first five books, he was already mentioned to come before anybody knew him. What kind of God is it that can establish grace, God's unmerited favor, a God's inexhaustible supply of goodness, a God's redemption at Christ's expense? What kind of God is it that we serve that can reveal things? So even in the beginning, God was creating grace for a world even before the law was established. The law came under Moses, but grace came through Christ Jesus. And so grace, God's unmerited favor, was established even in the foundational structure before man even messed up. Now I understand why God, the Lord said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. God had a prophetic plan before you and I were ever thought of. Before the order of creation, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit had a plan called salvation before man even messed up. And God said, I've got man covered because of his agape love for us. And the most difficult thing that we wrestle with in this world is this thing called love. Men love war, but they wrestle with love. Can I introduce you to the real king? This king authority was mentioned before his arrival. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. He was a man who was rich, yet for our sake he became poor. Jesus demonstrated God's grace by willingly becoming poor. He who owned all things, the cattle on 1,000 hills, the silver as well as the gold, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. He owned it all. Though he were rich, yet he became poor to demonstrate the grace of God. So Isaiah, this major prophet, said in 53 and 2, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of the dry ground. He have no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. A simple man, not flashy, a carpenter's son. In a sense, in an earthly realm, the son of a man called Joseph, or Jacob, or Joseph, rather. And then when we think about all of the things that Jesus came to do, we see how Isaiah says something prophetic in the future. He said he would be despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our face from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. The one who loved us would be despised. Then Isaiah said, there surely is there a surely in the house. Surely he had borne our grief and carried our sorrow, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But there's a conjunction. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Amen. Jesus took on our burden and our sin upon himself and suffer the wrath of a sin-hating God so that you and I would not be held under the laws of sin and death. So many times we look at ourselves and say, man, I've really messed up. And you're absolutely right, because I've done it too. There are times in our life I say, well, I'm not doing as best as I can. I've done this and I've done that. And you're right, and I have too. But the Lord looks at you and he sees favor. He sees favor in you because of what his son has already done for you. He has covered you with his blood and cleansed you with all of the righteousness that he has so that you would not be held under the laws of sin and death. That's love. That is what God is designing and God has designed for us today. My brothers and sisters, the real king demonstrated the eternal love of God the Father. He never spoke of war, but peace. He never spoke of division, but unity. He was never negative about people, but encouraged people. When people were hungry, he fed them. When they were sick, he healed them. That's what a real king does. A real king takes care of his people. He doesn't call division. He doesn't call the military to fight with his own people. Can I introduce you to the real king? He never talked about himself, but he always talked about his father. He never owned a home. But he said, in my father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place, not for himself, but for you. He never criticized anyone concerning their past, but he always offered forgiveness for whatever they have done. Can I introduce you to the real king? He was a man who was sinless, but took upon himself our sin. He was a man who was betrayed by Judas and denied by Peter. He was a man who was crucified on a cross and hung between two thieves. He was a man who said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Can I introduce you to the real king?
Yes.
He was a man who died on a Friday. But early Sunday morning, he got up with all power of heaven and earth in his hand. Can I introduce you to the real king? He was a man who said, wait for the promise, the comforter of the Holy Spirit that will come. In Acts 2, verses 1 through 4, it states, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all on one accord.